ערב טוב, ברוכים הבאים לשורפים משחקים, אני אביב מנוח. השבוע אין פרק, נבות שהיה אמור להקליט נקלע למצב בריאותי, הוא בסדר, הכל טוב, הוא מחלים, אבל לא יכולנו להקליט ביום חמישי. במקום זאת, מה שאתם הולכים להזין לו עכשיו זה פרק של התוכנית החדשה של עומר קפלן ואנוכי, The Burn, שהוא בעצם פודקאסט על משחקים באנגלית. בכל תוכנית נדבר על משחק אחד ועל אירוע או מאמר חדשותי אקטואלי שיתרחש באותו זמן. פרקים קצרים, כ-30 דקות, וזהו, אתם יכולים להאזין להם בכתובת theburn.live, וזה הכל, אני מקווה שתענו מהתוכנית ותירשמו לעדכונים לפרקים הבאים. האזנה נעימה.
Listening to The Burn. Gaming stuff blazing fast.
Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of The Burn, a podcast about gaming done blazing fast. I'm Aviv Manoach.
And I am Omer, Time Twister Kaplan. You see, now that I have my name and both my gamer tag, people, like US people, can just use my gamer tag instead of like scrambling to say Omer. So there you go.
Okay, that it's good that you have Time Twister have everywhere. I have in some places isel.me, one word, and other places just isel. And other places, ISL21M, because those were old places that I couldn't get a proper nickname, etc. So just find me on Twitter at ISL. It's the fastest and quickest way. Anyways, we are going to talk about games for about half an hour. Each episode is going to be one game that one of us at least has played since the last episode, and then we're going to talk a bit of news topics. So today is going to be The Outer Worlds. That's the game. I've played about 13 hours of it, and Omer played some of it as well, and then we are going
I have about 6 hours
in. Good. And then we're going to discuss the latest League of Legends Championship World. And it made me laugh because I thought about how are we going to name each episode. And okay, we'll name it by the name of the game. And then I thought about it, and then it's good for the first episode because it's The Outer Worlds, and the competition is also called Worlds. So it works on both ways.
Or just call it The Pilot. We can do Pilot.
No.
First episode is always The Pilot.
No, when it's up, it's not a pilot. It's never a pilot. Okay.
Okay. go pilot the episode.
Yes. Let's discuss The Outer World. The Outer World came out about a month ago, I think. It's a game by Obsidian Entertainment. And it's role-playing game, FPS, shooter. You don't need to say shooter for the FPS because the S part is the shooter part. Hybrid sort of thing. And what it is, it's really a combination of the legacies of about 20 years of games. Games like Fallout and Mass Effect and Knights of the Old Republic and more of the latest game by Obsidian, like Pillars of Eternity 2, specifically because of the ship stuff. And it really shows. The game puts you as the basically invisible protagonist, since it's all first-person shooter, but you do create your characters, but it just for your own, I don't know, how you imagine your character to be. But so far, 15 hours in, I haven't seen my character even once, and the game doesn't have a third-person mode. Someone actually asked me on Twitter, why even bother creating your character model in a first person game, and for some game you can switch to third person, and or the character is shown in cutscenes and stuff. And in this game, I really don't know why they bothered with the character model creation. You don't do anything with it.
I mean, I think it could be just an engine bonus. I mean, you do see your character in all the inventory menus and stuff, but also, you know, maybe, you know, in the future, it's just an option. I think it's just like maybe they had it in the engine and they said, well, you know, character creation feels more personalized. We could do stuff with it in the future. Maybe they had three, like third person, and it got scrapped somewhere during the process. So could be a
maybe
thing.
Maybe.
You rarely see your characters because most of the time you have these stupid helmets on.
You or, can remove them.
Like, you know. Is there like a remove helmet checkbox?
Yep. Both for your character and the companions.
I am. You just made my day. Made my week.
I decided to keep them on because all the armor models look really good, and some of the helmets are really funny, and you can find things in the game like top hats and eye patches and engineering goggles. They don't help you at all, but they are really fun. So
yeah, anyway, it's kind of like very Fallout-esque.
Yeah. So anyway, in Outer Worlds is a science fiction. I call it colonial science fiction. It's the type of game where you are in a distant star sector, and it's all run in this case by a corporation, and it's all colonization efforts and wilderness and stuff, and all of the technology beside weapons and spaceships are from the 70s and 80s. And I don't really get this trope. It started in Fallout, and I think they just roll with it. I think it's also a Star Wars thing because, in the original Star Wars movies, they were filmed in the 70s and 80s, and the technology looked like crap. And so it became the kind of tropey pulp science fiction space thing to have really old-timey technology, even though we are in space. And all the computers are monochrome, a yellowish kind of color, just like Fallout and stuff like that. So it's a really interesting throwback to all those games, to Fallout and to Knights of the Old Republic and stuff like that. But it's weird to me. I'll say it like that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Your computer is, you know, black and green, but you have like warp space jump drives. So you know.
Yeah, and you have an artificial intelligence in your ship and. Yeah, it's weird. At least the money system in the game, it's actually bitcoins and not like battle caps like Fallout.
Well, that's kind of like the setting, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't find it in my playthrough, but you can find somewhere the explanation of the bit cartridges, and it's actually based on Bitcoin or blockchain or whatever. They say that the bit cartridges have unique coded algorithms on them that is the money. So it's a bit of a fun addition. In this game, you are woken up from a cryosleep and by a mad sort of doctor, engineer, whatever it is, and he wants to make the sector better again and pull it out of the evil corporation's hand. And so he sends you to a bunch of locations to locate stuff for it and fight your way everywhere. And it's not an open world game. It's a lot closer to the original Mass Effects 1 and 2 at least, where you have a specific location, and in that location you have a map, and you have a quest to do in that area, and then you move on to another location. The location is kind of big, at least I'm now at the third location, which is Monarch, and you have a lot of ground to cover, but it also makes it feels like the planets are really empty. You don't really get to see anything beside people you kill, monsters, and then the cities. The cities have a bunch of people, but again, it's more of a Wild West feeling, where the city saloons and bars and stuff have a lot of people, but anywhere else it's empty. You may run into a farmhouse somewhere that have people, but beside that it's all monsters and marauders and thieves and stuff like that. And while it's all look pretty and the level design is great, and there is some verticality where you can jump for platforming and find stuff, and it's extremely fun. Every time I sit to play this game, I have a lot of fun with it. I can't shake the feeling that the maps feel empty, and it's a very strange contrast to the rest of the game, because every time you meet people, the game shines because the dialogues are amazing and all the stuff you can do with your skills is excellent. And then you go outside, and for the shooting parts, the shooting is fun, but between those packs of mobs, there is nothing. And it's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, I hear what you say. I think I have a slightly different experience with this game, because like for the first time ever, I mean, so usually when I play these kind of games, Fallout and, you know, even RPGs, I create a character that's kind of like similar to me, or, you know, it's kind of like kind of bardic, a little bit of magic, a little bit of fighting, kind of like a generalist, but with more like more intelligence than, you know, strength. And here I just said, you know what? This game seems kind of casual. It's like a nice and short experience. So if you look at how long to beat, the whole thing is like 15, 20 hours. So I think you're getting close to the end, by the way.
No. It's maybe 15 hours if you just rush the main story. It's it's closer to 35 if you do everything. And it's closer to 50 if you play on the harder difficulties, which I don't, obviously.
So, yeah, so pretty much like a compact experience. So what I did, I created this character who is like nothing like me. He's like, he's a huge dude, like really tanky, two-handed melee guy, tons of intimidation. And I basically just roam around the galaxy, or the sector rather, and just, you know, call people names, use intimidation all the time, lie all the time. Like, I don't care. Like, if, you know, somebody says, oh, you gotta help me. He's like, nope, just two-handed melee to the head, you know, just like having fun with the world, which is pretty fun. And what I really like about the navigation system, it's also kind of scary though, is that the navigation system is very similar to what they have in, I think it was Mass Effect 2, where you just have the star system and you can basically go to any star you want. I mean, there's no reason to go to places without quests, but hypothetically, I just said, oh, this star looks nice, and then I fly to this asteroid, and on this asteroid, there's like huge beasts that like are, I think, like 2-3 levels higher than me, and they just like smash me. So,
yeah,
I mean, you can...
I had a similar experience. On the Groundbreaker, I got a couple of quests that were at a different location to everything else, and I said to myself, well, let's go do those couple of quests because let's clear them out of the way. And I get there, and the first pack of mobs like immediately destroys me. And then I thought to myself, okay, so there is a level to those mobs and those locations, although the game doesn't tell you that.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny because I'm like I said, I'm roughly 6 hours in, so I'm still learning the mechanics, still like getting used to all the. So I think the game really leans into different damage types. So
yes,
you can do physical damage, shock damage, end damage, which I think is like kind of like true damage. I don't know, something like negative rays or something. I don't.
Yeah,
so no spoilers. I don't know what that means.
At the map,
radiation.
I'm. maybe I the map I'm currently in, it started to get really noticed because there are very big monsters that are biological, and plasma weapons do a lot more damage to them than just bullets. And then there are mech suits where plasma damage does nothing to them, but I have a assault rifle that I changed the damage type to electricity, and it eats them really, really fast. So yeah, it's a very prominent mechanic. The last thing I want to say that I'm kind of bothered by in this game is that because of the strong similarity of the strong feeling I get to Mass Effect, I keep wanting to have special abilities like panic button, because I am the sort of player that shoots from a distance. I use sniper rifles and stuff like that. And when an enemy start running toward me, charging me, I'm looking for the abilities to be able to deal with him. Also, when I ran out of ammunition and stuff, I want to be able to do other things, and I can't. They don't have it. They only have companion abilities, which are on cooldown. Now, I can have my companion stay near me and not charge forward and stuff like that. But since I play on the lower difficulty, I just let them roam freely. So that's a thing that I keep wanting to do and can't. And I would say that the game gives you a whole lot of loot, pretty much too much loot, except for ammunition. I found myself a couple of times without ammo and needing to... I think it's a bit of a intentional, because it makes you have to switch between different type of weapons. So I think they did it intentionally for that reason.
Well, I cannot sympathize, because melee weapons doesn't have ammunition. Yeah. I just whack at people.
And then, yeah, there is a whole whole weapon system, a whole melee weapon system that seems very, very exciting. I thinking about playing a second playthrough where I just kill everybody and use a giant hammer or something. Okay, I think we covered enough about that. Tell us about what happened with the League of Legends Worlds tournament, which was exciting.
Oh, hold on. I need to give you my bottom line for...
Yes, what's the bottom line?
Okay, so this game, well, I don't know if I... First of all, it's super fun. I don't know if it's because I just came playing it off of a really other heavy narrative, story-driven game. It's really solid experience. So nothing in this game, you know, is overwhelmingly amazing, innovative, good, but it's just a good... It's like a good, solid, story-driven activity to have. I mean, so it's really, I don't know, it's pretty good. Anyway, yeah, I'm sorry, I literally got a text, a phone call, and I had to like talk during the whole thing, so...
Yeah, I get that. It happened to me a lot.
Next time,
I will...
Next time, do not disturb.
Yeah, put your phone and do not disturb. I will start by framing the League of Legends World Tournament by talking about the numbers on Twitch. The peak number they got was 2.9 million viewers across the different channels that covered the tournament, which is huge. Those are huge numbers.
It's pretty crazy.
It's bigger than some mainstream television stations.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the whole like traditional media, the ESPNs of the world and the CNNs of the world like to, you know, make those big headlines. So it was like something like the Super Bowl and the Stanley Cup combined, and in terms of the concurrent viewers without the Chinese audience, which is also huge. And so, yeah, it had a pretty big viewership, I gotta say, especially when the time, well, actually time in the US was like 6, 7 a.m., depending on the daylight savings time. So yeah, I mean, the finals, it was pretty exciting. So let me just go ahead and talk about it a little bit. So I'm playing League very casually, nothing too hardcore, but I'm really into the esports part, and it was an amazing experience. For the past couple of years, the opening ceremonies of the World Championship Finals were okay. They always have this, the theme song and some live performances, and it's always the subject of many memes. But this one really surprised me for the better. They launched their new, so every now and then, just for those of you who are not like really into League, every now and then they release this music group that's built out of a couple of characters in the game, and then they ship a whole skin line. It's basically like a promotional thing, but wrapped in a very, very nice musical. Yes, I mean, it's like the video and the song, and those songs become like instant hits. So for this,
yeah.
I think the one that they launched this world, it's like an imaginary band called True Damage. I think it went something like 2 million views in 20 minutes, something like pretty insane. So it was the song, the whole open ceremony, and the live performances were very, very thought through. The stadium, like the arena in Paris, was pretty amazing. I have to say, I got pretty emotional and pretty hyped up. And I just sitting there at 7 a.m. eating a sandwich, then drinking coffee, but watching it, and I'm thinking, wow, this must be how all the sports people feel about their, World Series and Super Bowls. It was really, really nice. the game themselves are, pretty surprising. So the whole main storyline was G2 Esports from the European region against FunPlus. What is this name even? FunPlus Phoenix. I really hope that that's not their final name. They get sponsored by somebody. I didn't fact check, but I think FunPlus could be like a huge Chinese telecom thing. So I might be misrepresenting the facts. Keep me honest after the show. I know that you like fact checking me. So anyway, FunPlus Phoenix from China, and it was kind of funny the way they built up the whole story was, yeah, we
video
G2
game
Esports.
Developer FunPlus.
Okay, well, it's not Tencent, but it makes sense. So G2 Esports was really dominant throughout the regular season, and everybody and their sister from the Western media was betting on G2 just due to their, I guess, familiarity with the regular season and how good they are and the players and everything. And from the, on the other hand, the whole, Eastern side of the globe media was really, oh, who these G2 esports are? We got FunPlus Phoenix. Those are like, it's a huge team. They actually dominated the Chinese league for a very long time. And then when they clashed in the finals, one of those groups had to be really like disillusioned, and FunPlus Phoenix just ran over 3-0. It was over very fast, let's just say that. And then they kind of like established, this is the second time that China wins the League of Legends World Championship. And next year, they're actually hosting the whole thing. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Whoa.
Yes. So imagine, and they actually, I think they're using the Olympic stadium where they were using for all the big games. So imagine, like, it's going to be pretty insane. And I can't wait to see the whole thing unfold next year.
Haven't really watched it as an esports experience. I followed what's going on with the trends in viewership. Because of the job, I'm the community manager for Stream Elements, so it's very interesting to see the trends that go through those things on Twitch and other sites. It's not only that it got vast viewership peaks views, it's that it drained any other category during that time, like Fortnite, which usually gets 100,000 plus viewers, dropped to a third of that or something like that. You could see the League of Legends category at the top. We've even not at its peak, we are talking about 400,000, 700,000 viewers, and all the rest were below 50. Stuff like Overwatch and World of Warcraft, and even just chatting. So the trend we could see here is that it's not just that the world competition draw crowds that weren't usually watching Twitch, because that's what usually happens when there is a big event like that. It draws viewers that are not Twitch viewers. They are external viewers. They are new eyes to the competition. But we can see here that it was an experience that draw crowds from all over Twitch. It's something that doesn't happen every day. And it's interesting to see.
Yeah, what's really special to me is that, I mean, I'm very, like, you know, realistic about esports. And then the way I see esports is that, I mean, beyond all the competition, if you look at on the really, really high level, it's essentially marketing for the game, usually, for the most part. And then the amount of production and, you know, just effort that Riot puts into, you know, making those events happen, I have to wonder, like, if there's, like, a real return of investment, even for the, I mean, probably for some organizations, but I don't know, but especially for the company who's developing the game, is that all, like, bottom line worth it? And I wish I had an answer. How many skins do you have to sell to, you know, produce this kind of event? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's partly about promoting the general game, and it's partly to confirm its right to exist. I will say it like that, because all
I
those
mean, sponsorship money didn't hurt either, right?
So. Yeah, of course. All those free-to-play competitive games wants to assert themselves as esport viable. And so if you want to present yourself as an actual sporting event, you need to go all the way. You need to do all the stuff around it. Look at the FIFA World Championships. Look at the Tennis World Championship. Look at the Olympic Games. If you want to be taken seriously, and I say it ironically a bit, but if you want to be taken seriously as a sporting event, you are expected to do all of the things around it, all of those mini events and the promotions and stuff like that. So it's a matter of appearance at some level, not only about selling the game to the general public, I think.
I think that's on point. By the way, I heard like a mother of appearance. I was like, who's mother? What? Okay. Yeah. if you're looking for a show title, the mother of appearance. That's the should be the thing. All right. Yeah. So that was Worlds. Worlds was fun. I watched the games, got very excited, went into league, lost a couple games, and now I'm fine again.
Great.
That's usually how it goes.
Great. And it comes just a month after the big 10-year anniversary Riot Games League of Legends thing, when they announce all the new games and stuff. So the next year is going to be very interesting for Riot. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about it in length, but we're almost at time.
No,
They just announced that, you know, all the team fight tactics of the world and all the stuff isn't going to be an esport. It's going to be very casual and entertainment based. So we can talk about that later.
Yeah, at another time. Okay, that's all the time we had. I hope you enjoyed this discussion, and we'll see what game we're going to talk about next time and what world event news will be interesting for the next episode.
Or will there be an episode 2 even?
Of course there will be. I'm not quitting after a pilot. What are you talking about? I'm not a quitter.
Okay.
I don't stop producing a podcast just because the game I talked about was virtually destroyed. Omer.
Yeah, that's right. All right, cool. Yeah, so that was a good episode. Good radio. All right.
Yes. Okay, so Omer, where do people can find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/OmerKaplan. That's OmerKaplan. And the reason I spell it so well is because I spell it out to people multiple times a day.
Great.
Multiple times.
And you can find me at Icel, I-C-E-L, short and sweet. It's ice plus an L at the end. And we currently in this episode don't have where to send you to find the rest of the podcast because there isn't yet a place for it. We need to finish this recording and then I will upload it somewhere. And for the next time, we'll have a more organized a thing. Our opening music is composed by Ann Dorco and the voiceover is by Fishy Dave, which I don't remember his last name at the moment. I will put it in the show notes. Sorry, Dave.
Fishy Dave, okay.
No, Fishy, it's a handle on Twitch. If you want to check him out, you can go to Fishy on Twitch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Alright.
He's a streamer and he works with me. That's it. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode, whenever that will be. Thank you, and goodbye!